We are living in a day where anxiety, depression, hopelessness, and suicide, especially among teenage girls and middle-aged men, has skyrocketed. And at the end of the day, it's because they have lost hope. Today, I want to teach you where you can get hope that will never change and never let you down. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher for this international discipleship ministry focused on helping Christians live like Christians. Today we're continuing our series, Jesus Is, identifying the key I Am statements Christ used to describe himself in the Gospel of John. And in just a minute, Chip will pick up where he left off last time in his message titled, The Way. But before he does, if this is your first time listening to Living on the Edge, or you want to learn more about what we do, go to livingontheedge.org. You'll find resources on tons of topics and countless programs to enjoy. Or if you prefer, the Chip Ingram app is also a great way to get plugged in with our ministry. Chip begins today by reviewing the six promises Christ laid out in John chapter 14 that can help us develop an unshakable hope. Well, let's dive in.
In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I will take you to be with me, that you may be also where I am. You know, here's our word, the way to the place where I'm going. And I love Thomas. He said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answers, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. This is the part we don't read. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And notice these six promises. Look at your notes. He says, in my Father's house, literally, there's many residents. And then notice he goes on. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's beginning to help them see your anxiety and your fear and your confusion and your uncertainty. What he's driving a stake and saying, there's hope. I will come back again for you, third promise. I will receive you to myself. I'm not going away forever. And then he begins to talk about, well, how is life going to work now that I'm physically going to be gone? Someday, some way, their minds are spinning. Okay, you're coming back. You love us. You're not going to forsake us. But how is life going to work? And so he goes on and says to them, from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. And so Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know, Philip, that even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And then he talks about the future. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do even greater works than I have done. I am going to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, I will give to you, so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Do you see the hope? Here's the condition. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And don't think love is a feeling. Love in the New Testament, love largely in the Bible, is a matter of loyalty. It's not a matter of my experiential feelings, although I sure love those and we want good ones. But he says, if you love me, if you're loyal to me, not loyal to yourself, not loyal to others, not loyal to the world system, you obey my commandments, result. And I will ask the Father and he'll give you another counselor to be with you how long? Look at your Bible. Another counselor, the Holy Spirit. He'll be with you forever. And who is he? The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither has seen him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives, notice the difference now, he lives with you. Remember when he sent them out? They did miracles. They cast out demons. God used them to heal. The Spirit has been with you, and now future will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And before long, you will not see me anymore. But then you will see me, speaking of the resurrection. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you'll realize that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one that really loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. And I love this line, will show myself. We get our word manifest. In other words, I'll make myself known. Jesus loves all of us all the time. But there are certain Christians that experientially have him reveal himself or manifest himself or make himself real in your experience. I had that experience this morning. And it's when we obey. It's when we obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, fundamentally obeying his word, obeying, you know, the wisdom that God gives us through other believers. And so I was sitting all the way in the back, and I was praying as we were singing and the service was starting. And as I sat there, God prompted me. There was a young man that I just saw, and I had a deep sense in my spirit that he was troubled deeply. And so as we sang, I began to pray for him, and I asked the Lord to speak to him very, very powerfully during the service, and especially during the message. I had no idea why. I don't know him. I think I may have bumped into him once. And then when we got done, like all of you, right? So did God answer that prayer? I wonder what happened. I don't know. And so when I got done, we were singing the very last song, and I kind of needed to clear my mind. When we got to the second song, I went outside. I put my feet up in the sun, and I prayed, Lord, you know, I could chit-chat with lots of people, but I really want my mind, my heart to be clear. If there's anyone you want to talk with me, would you have them walk over and sit down in front of me? Guess who came? That young man. Guess what? He was deeply troubled. Guess what? We have some really common personal challenges that we shared with one another. That's not because I'm special. Jesus promised when you obey him, when you trust him, when you hear his voice, he's the way for relationships to work. Other-centeredness, sacrifice, servant. He's the way in a fallen world when you forgive those who betray and hurt you. He's the way to experience the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's work inside you. Jesus says, you may have a road, you may have a compass, you may have a map. Social media has a map for you. The culture has a map for you. The university has a map for you. Other isms and philosophies has a map for you. Jesus says, I have a map. It's me. It's personal, intimate relationship. The way you follow the map is obedience. Not rules, not principles. Obedience to me, the person. I'll be with you. I've got to anchor your hope. You don't have to be afraid in the future. Not only that, but as I do this, I'm going to give you a spirit of truth that's not just going to be available. He'll live in you. Notice it goes on. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? He said, anyone who loves me, he will obey my teaching. It's like it just gets from good to better to best. My Father will love him, and we, plural, will come to him and make our home with him. Now, when you walked in this morning, were you at least intellectually aware that when you turned from your sin and in the empty hands of faith, turned away from your sin and asked Christ to forgive you based on what he did on the cross, and the moment that you received Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit entered your life and sealed you with the Spirit, deposited spiritual gifts, took you out of the kingdom of darkness, placed you in the kingdom of light, and now the Holy Spirit's role is he actually will manifest the actual dwelling of the Father and the Son in your physical body? Like you knew that, right? And when you pray, that's how you think about it, right? Or is God way off there somewhere? He is completely transcendent and simultaneously eminent and personal. And what's the conduit? The conduit of experiential relationship is obedience. These words you hear, he keeps modeling. These aren't my own. See, I'm walking in dependence on the Father and the power of the Spirit. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All these things I've spoken while I was with you, But the Comforter, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you things and he'll remind you of everything that I've said to you. Now, remember what he said, how he started this? Peace, relax, take a step back. You believe and trust in God, trust also in me. And now, peace, I leave you with the peace that I give. I do not give you the peace that the world gives that's temporary, that rises and falls with the relationships going well, or circumstances change, or I get a good job, or we just had a baby, or remodeled the kitchen. Nothing wrong with those things. He says, I give you a peace that transcends those. Don't let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. The context of I am the way and the truth and the life is to a group of intimate friends in a private dinner where he wants them to know, I really get you're anxious. I really understand your fear. I can certainly identify that confusion is reigning, and I know that the future seems completely uncertain. Here's the solution in horizontal relationships. Here's the solution when you're betrayed, and here's the solution when you don't know what the future is going to hold. I'm the way, my person. I'm the way to do horizontal relationships. I'm the way to forgive others the way I've forgiven you. I am the way because, like the groom has gone and prepared a place, your future is absolutely secured. You may not know what is around the corner or which person is going to be a friend or a future mate or a roommate or where you're going to work or how things are going to work out or whether a health issue is going to take you to heaven or whether something he's going to take you through. But here's what you can know. The final destination. And here's what you can know. I won't leave you as orphans. The call of Jesus isn't that he makes our life out wonderful if we just believe in him like some sort of magical guru. And if we, you know, I believe in Jesus and I pray to prayer and I read the Bible sometimes and I try really hard to be nice. And boy, when we worship sometimes, I have some really ooey gooey experiences and wow, wow, wow. I'm all for that. But your experience will not sustain you when you get wounded or when you get cancer or lose your job or someone you love dies. Jesus will. And as you obey him, he will allow your experience to get richer and deeper. And according to Jesus, he didn't trust his emotions. He trusted the Father, but he trusted the Father's word.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. We'll return you to Chip's message in just a minute. But let me quickly share with you, God has called us to do incredible ministry work all around the world. And when you partner with us financially, you're part of what we do. So if you'd like to join us, go to livingontheedge.org. We appreciate you giving whatever God leads you to give. Well, with that, here's Chip.
And so he anchored his life in the Word and the Holy Spirit. And so what this text is really teaching us, I put a little summary. It was really all about God expressing his love to his closest friends. Is there a theological construct? Of course. But because God loves me, you might get your pen out. I think there's a couple fill-ins here. And I know that some of you will be very mad if I go too fast. You don't get to fill them in. By way of summary, I wanted you to know that Jesus really, I mean, it's such a generic word. He loves you. Well, what does that mean in real life? Because God loves me, Jesus is preparing a place for me. Underline me. And that me is you. Because God loves me, he sent Jesus to make a way for me to be with the Father. In the midst of their confusion and anxiety, there's a way, there's a door, there's access, there's certainty. Because God loves me, he sent Jesus to reveal to me what God is really like. You don't have to wonder. If you've seen Jesus, you'll know exactly what God is like. You'll know exactly how he responds when you fail and when you sin and when you're resentful and when you feel far from God and you want nothing to do with him. And in a moment, the little light says turn and you said, I don't want to turn. You'll know exactly how he feels. He feels like you, just like he did the woman who was caught in adultery. He feels the way about you that he felt about Peter afterwards, where after he failed him, after his big bravado, he met with him privately and loved him and restored him. Doesn't mean there aren't consequences. Jesus is not the genie in the bottle, but he is your loving, faithful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful Savior. Because God loves us, he will use you and use me greatly. Even more than what he did, he says, greater works you'll do. Why? Because he was confined to a body. Now we're his body, and he has millions of hands, over 2 billion people. I think it's 2.3 is the estimate of the 8 billion people in the world claim some level of allegiance to Jesus Christ, would call themselves Christians. Greater works, hospitals and orphanages and children and people rescued from the sex trade and jobs offered and clean water and the hands and the feet and the eyes and the love and the heart of Jesus all over the world. As we get our focus off of ourselves and off of our anxiety and off of getting our little phones out to find out what everyone else thinks about us and into the Word to say, as I obey and saturate my mind with God's word, the Father and the Son are going to come and they're going to manifest their presence. And I will have experiences where I'll learn to hear his voice. Just like little babies learn to hear their mom's voice. And the moment they walk in the room and say something, they calm down. As you spend time with God, then you can sit in the back of a room and just be a normal, regular person like me. And have the Spirit of God say, I'm concerned about that young man. Pray for him. And that will be normal. God wants you to have many, many experiences with him that are other-centered, sacrificial relationships. And then the weird thing will be, right? As you give your life away, you experience a joy that you couldn't comprehend. Finally, he says, because God loves me, he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of me, to manifest the presence, the personality, and the power of Jesus 24/7. You know what? That's a great sentence. I mean, not because I wrote it. It's because it's true. The Holy Spirit isn't like the force. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the triune God, and he dwells inside of you. He's a person. You know he's a person because he can be grieved, see? In other words, you can hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings. When I'm prompted and I say, I don't want to, leave me alone right now. This movie's too interesting. Or leave me alone right now. I'd rather eat. Or leave me alone right now. I don't feel like it. I can hurt the Holy Spirit's feelings. So it says, grieve not the Spirit. When I don't forgive someone, I grieve the Holy Spirit. I make him sad. He lives inside of you to manifest the person and the personality and the power of the Lord Jesus. Well, how do we respond? Because I love God, I will not fear because my future is secure. Some of you are gonna have to really renew your mind on that one. You don't have to fear because he's preparing a place for you. Second, because I love God, I will trust in Jesus as the only way to eternal life. And we can talk about that as a theological construct and the intellectual basis for that. Because I love God, I will make knowing God the number one priority in my life. There is such a difference of believing in Jesus as a portion or a part of your life and making the number one priority. It's what I do first. It's what matters most. It's I evaluate where my time goes, where my money goes, who my friends are, what I do, what I don't do, where I'm going to work, where I'm going to relocate or not relocate, who I'm gonna marry, who I'm not gonna marry. The number one priority is I'm gonna passionately, intentionally, diligently discipline my life to know God and then make him known. Not as a rule, not as rigid, but as a relationship. Because I love God, I'll use my time, talent, and treasure and platform to make Jesus' love known. And finally, because I love God, I will submit my heart and mind and obey the Holy Spirit's direction through his word, his people, and his promptings. And I'll tell you what, you get with a people from other parts of the world that I'm hanging out with, when they read the Bible, they don't read it like, you know, good, autonomous, independent Americans. We read it like this. Wow, this is really interesting stuff. That was pretty cool. Tacos later, sounds cool. I love Jesus. And, you know, the Jesus about love, I'm there. Jesus about heaven, I'm there. I'm not really sure about all that moral stuff. You know, I can sort of take it or leave it. You know how they read the Bible? Each day, they read a section, and then it's, what do you want me to do? Radical, costly, immediate obedience. And they get promptings, and they act. And guess what? All that stuff about Jesus manifesting the Father and the Son in supernatural ways, and choosing to heal people, and choosing to rescue people, and choosing people who we would think who are literally out to kill us infidels, are coming to Jesus in ways, you know what Jesus is looking for here? He's looking for an awakening among God's people, especially the next generation, who would get off of how everyone else thinks and not be sort of Jesus people that really the way is secularism and prosperity and happiness is the map, but who would read the scriptures and do life in community in a way that your response would be immediate, radical, costly obedience that might alienate you even from other Christians, but would make you one of God's favorite sons or daughters, and you would see him work like never before.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and the message you just heard, The Way, is from our series, Jesus Is. Chip will join us in studio to share some insights from today's talk in just a minute. It's been said that one of the wonderful things about knowing God is that there's always more to know. So even though God is infinite, it can still be a joy for us to learn more and more about who He is. And that's what Chip and his son Ryan Ingram are doing in this series based in the Gospel of John. Join us as they highlight seven phrases Jesus used to describe Himself that gave us a more spectacular glimpse into His character, authority, and love for us. If you missed any part of this series, catch up through the Chip Ingram app or at livingontheedge.org. Well, before we go any further, here's Chip.
Thanks so much, Dave. I want to take just a few minutes to talk about something really important, and I hope especially for those of you that are regular listeners, you'll agree. God has been using the ministry of Living on the Edge in incredible ways. We've been growing and reaching folks like never before, and you're an important part of that. Your gifts to Living on the Edge make it possible for us to be present in places that without you, we simply couldn't be. Many of these places are extremely dangerous to proclaim the name of Christ. And your gifts make it possible for us to reach people in desperate situations, you know, right here in the United States. I can't tell you how many emails and letters I receive that somewhere in that letter or email, it's like, I was on my way to the abortion clinic, or I was planning to end my life, or I was about to give up on my marriage, or I was giving up on God because of something terrible that happened to me, but then I started listening to you on my drive to work, or my neighbor gave me this book, or I found your app, and, you know, this series on overcoming emotions, or whatever. It was God's catalyst that began a total transformation in my life. These things aren't happening because of Chip Ingram or even Living on the Edge. They're happening because God is working in and through those who by faith respond and obey Him. You know, we can't do anything alone. That's because it's not God's plan for any of us. We are in this together, and Living on the Edge as God's ministry is about you and me doing exactly what God calls us to do. And so I would ask you, first, would you really pray for the ministry? And second, would you pray specifically about partnering at a deeper level and partnering with us financially? Do whatever God leads you to do, and let me say in advance, let's keep pressing ahead, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip. If joining the Living on the Edge team is an idea that makes sense to you, we'd love to have you partner with us. Your support multiplies our efforts and resources in ways only God can do. So if you'd like to be part of that, let me encourage you to become a monthly partner. Set up your gift today by going to livingontheedge.org or by calling us at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003 or visit livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap donate. Well, Chip, as we wrap up, today you walked through a handful of active promises that started with the phrase, because I love God, I will. Well, you can run through a few of those to remind us, but more importantly, help us put those into practice. Now, how can we live those promises out in our everyday life?
Well, that's a really big assignment, Dave, but let me say this to people. Maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think I am. You know, there's times where it's very clear certain things you need to believe or certain things you need to change. You try hard, and then you kind of give up, and then you get convicted maybe a few months later, and you do it again. Can I tell you something? That doesn't work. It does not work. Life change has to always begin with our thinking. You know, Romans 12:2, he talks about, have your mind renewed so you prove or experience what God's will is. So let me encourage you, go to our website, livingontheedge.org, download these notes, they're right there. And then I want you to, I know you can print them out, but write them out and read them over. And if you'll do that, I mean, maybe make 7 cards and just read them over before you go to bed, read them over early in the morning, you can put them in your car, and don't try to memorize them, don't try to make some big action. Here's what I want you to do, kind of have this open mind with this desire. This is my desire, God. Because I love God, I will not fear because my future is secure. And then as you read through, you might want to put the passage there of John 14. It's all in the notes. But you say that out loud. Because I love God, I will trust in Jesus as the only one for eternal life. Because I love God, I will make knowing God the number one priority of my life. You state that. You've written it. You're seeing it every day. You do this for 13, 14, 15 days. And I'm going to tell you, your desires will change. Instead of try hard, you'll just find this like, you know, before I go to bed, you know, maybe I'll just pick up the Bible and just read one psalm. Or, you know, you're in your car and there's talk radio or music and just this thought comes, you know, maybe I'll turn that off on the way to work and I'll just talk to the Lord in my car. I'm telling you, that's how life change can really happen. Give it a whirl. You'll be glad you did.
Good word, Chip. And before we go, I want to tell you about another practical resource we have to help you renew your mind every day. They're called Truth Cards. They began as 3x5 index cards Chip used to daily connect with Scripture. We took those and developed them into beautiful sets for you to learn from, too. Now, here's how they work. One side is a lie we believe about our identity, purpose, or even God. And then you flip it over, and there's a passage from the Gospel of John that'll dispel that lie and replace it with truth. We believe this tool can radically strengthen your day-to-day walk with God. So get a set of our Gospel of John truth cards today by visiting livingontheedge.org or by calling 888-333-6003. You'll be glad you did. We'll listen in next time as Ryan Ingram picks up in our series, Jesus Is. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.